Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by CornNation.com, hosted on JitteryMonkey.com, part of the Jittery Monkey Podcast, or family of podcasts. My name is Greg Mahochko. Joining me, as always, for the second time this week, now that we're finally into the season, albeit not the way we wanted to start the season, but Haas Reuter. Haas, we just talked a couple days ago. We have officially put Colorado behind us. It's time to look to the future. Time to look at Troy.
Yeah, the old Troy Trojans coming to town in just a little over 36 hours.
It's been a weird start to the season because we have, first of all, we have my dog walking on the floor with her claws. So she needs to go lay down. But we had the rain out, and this is not going to be a Nebraska exclusive after this weekend because of Hurricane Florence hitting the East Coast. So. Before we get going, any further, obviously, we hope that everybody stays as safe as they can in something like that. I have not been following the news nearly as much as I should, but enough to know apparently this hurricane has grown to like 450 miles wide, just insanity. I was at the doctor this week, and he said, imagine a storm, of this severity that covers from Chicago to Nashville, and that's about what you're looking at. I'm like, that's a big damn storm. So there's a lot of, a lot of games that are going to be canceled and a lot of speculation as far as where some of these, football teams might be able to pick up an extra game. And Nebraska was thrown in that mix. And oddly enough, and we do have a guest, folks. We're making him sit here and listen to our banter briefly, but we're going to bring in our guest from Underdog Dynasty in just a moment. But Haas, there's a lot of speculation or perhaps fantasy booking, if you will, that has Nebraska versus UCF at that bye week. It's not going to happen, though. Can we just put that to rest? It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I think I have a better chance of going out on a date with Jennifer Lawrence this weekend than we do of playing UCF during that bye week.
Did you send your video to her on Twitter, though, asking her to prom? As Michael Scott said of Wayne Gretzky, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So,
I mean, I'm a big fan of shoot your shot, but no, I did not.
So that's not going to happen. But Nebraska-Troy is going to happen tomorrow in Lincoln, and we are joined again from UnderdogDynasty.com. It is the Sun Belt Conference SB Nation site. Robert Latty is joining us. Robert, thanks for first of all for joining us and for sitting here listening to the two of us talk for just a couple minutes. Welcome to the Five Heart Podcast.
Glad to be a part of it. Everybody here on the East Coast is hunkered down for a hurricane, but if you guys want to take on the national champions in a bye week, go ahead.
I like him already, Haas. I really do.
Yeah, I do too.
since you mentioned where about are you at on the coast, or are you going to be directly affected by this hurricane?
I'm in Atlanta, so okay. We're pretty much, if you're north of about Nashville line, you're pretty safe. Just get a little bit of rain over the weekend, and that's about it. So we're getting pretty lucky down here in the southeast. It's mostly the Carolinas that are going to have their trouble.
Well, let's talk about what, when you look at this recent success that Troy has had, and you look at, obviously they played, and I always say this, I don't mean to disparage the good damn name of Florida A&M, but handled business last Saturday handily, and I know we're going to talk about it, but Troy is no stranger, especially in recent years, to going into big hostile environments, and I don't even want to say escaping with a win, but just leaving with a win and leaving that home team kind of scratching its head and wondering what the hell just happened. Let's talk a little bit about the 2018 Trojans. You're 1-1 at the moment, as we mentioned, big 59-7 win over the Rattlers last Saturday. How is the makeup of this team, and how does it differ from a year ago? Did you lose a lot of experience, a lot of seniority?
Missing it at the most important positions. Quarterback graduated. He was a 4-year starter. This will be Caleb Parker is the third quarterback that the Trojans will have over the past 9 years. We've had back-to-back 4-year starters. So this spring was the first time we'd had an actual quarterback competition in quite some time. We also lost Jordan Chun, starting running back for the past 3 years and one of the best the school's produced. So on the offensive side of the ball, they lost a lot of experience and a lot of talent and trying to replace that with some inexperienced young guys. And it's been to mixed results so far on the offensive side.
When you look at defensively, obviously, Nebraska and Florida A&M are two different animals, but you were able to, keep the Rattlers to one score. So defensively, what are some names that Husker fans might be hearing, as far as some playmakers on the defensive side of the ball?
You're going to hear a lot about Reese Hunter. He's one of the Bandit linebackers. Troy runs a 3-4 defense, and as the Bandit linebacker, you're going to see him line up all over the place, number 47. He's going to line up inside. He's going to be on the outside, but his sole purpose is to put pressure on the quarterback and rush the passer. He's been doing a great job of it, and actually the first play of the season defensively, he managed to get a sack, and that was about the highlight of the defense against Boise State this year. Elsewhere, the defensive line returns pretty loaded class, over 14 tackles for a loss last week. You're going to see a large rotation of those players in. Trevon Sanders is a big boy that's going to be run-stuffing. Jarvis Hayes, Marcus Webb, Antoine Barker, all these guys are going to be able to push the pocket and hopefully make some plays in the backfield. So far, the biggest issue for Troy has been giving up deep passes. And it's very surprising, very frustrating to Troy fans right now because we've seen such an experienced group come back, led by Blaise Brown. Was on the Thorpe watch list, and he's recovering from an ACL injury. Now, he still is making plays, but he's been beat for a couple of long touchdown passes this year. So really hoping to get him back involved and back up to 100%. But until that knee's ready, the defensive side of the ball has been somewhat of a mess against Boise, and obviously with FAMU, they're just not quite the talent level that you'd expect to be able to compare yourself to. But they looked a hell of a lot better last year game with 4 turnovers.
I like that you mentioned defensive line because Haas is – not only is he our X's and O's guy, but he loves talking about the big men in the trenches. And Haas, I know you want to sprinkle some Haas dust, for lack of a better term, on Nebraska's offensive line and talk about how well they played about Colorado. In what you've seen from this Troy squad, Haas, where do you think is – who do you think has an advantage up front?
Well, I admittedly, I'm not going to piss on everyone's shoes and tell you it's raining. I admittedly haven't seen much film on Troy except for a little bit of watching the Boise State game a couple weeks back. But anytime you're playing a 3-4 defense that likes to get a little aggressive, with their stunts, from what I have read about the Troy defense, it can be problematic. And you saw that a little bit with what Colorado's front did against us on those 4th-and-2s in the game. So, on paper, I'd have to go with the size advantage from the Nebraska offensive line point of view, but can't really give an in-depth answer right now.
Well, we'll let it slide this time. You're usually much more reliable, so we'll let this one off the hook.
Much obliged.
I know you've got some questions for Robert as well, especially on the X's and O's side, but before we do that, I do want to ask, Nebraska it's been a while, I feel like, since they've gone into somebody else's stadium and won a game that they maybe shouldn't have won, or at least on paper should not have won. Troy, not so much. We go back to last season and the game at LSU. Talk a little bit about maybe, and we got to get in our time machine a little bit, but expectations going into that game against traditional SEC you know, powerhouse, if you will, even though they've not been, you know, in the last couple of years what they were, especially when, you know, like Leonard Fournette was there. But talk to me about expectations and emotions both before and after that game, Robert.
Well, the expectation going into that game was very mixed. You know, we started off the season losing on the road at Boise, beat Alabama A&M barely, or rather handedly, but then snuck by New Mexico State in a terribly ugly game up in Akron. So the pieces were there for a season to really fall apart. And looking at the LSU game, homecoming game, Sun Belt team going to the SEC, that one pretty much writes itself. But there was some chinks in the armor to LSU going into the game. We saw that they had just gotten blown out by Mississippi State. They hadn't really done anything their first couple of games of the season. We started matching up on things, and you know, with all due respect to LSU, Coach O's a great recruiter, and that's about where it ends. You know, Coach Neil Brown, you know, he's a very offensive-minded coach and started making better play calls as the previous season in 2016 was going on. 2017 was kind of gearing up like that the same way. And, you know, everything just started falling into place, or, you know, right that week leading up to the game. And as the game started itself, you know, right off the bat, the best thing you can hope for when trying to pull off the upset, first play of the game from LSU, they turn the ball over, Troy drives down, touchdown. And from that point on, Troy was in control of the game. You know, if you're trying to pull off the upset like that, turnovers are key, and Troy won the turnover battle 4-2. One thing that everybody keeps forgetting about is that they had to hold on to dear life that fourth quarter, the second half of the third quarter, the fourth. At one point, I believe it was up 17-0, went up to 24-7, then it just became a mad dash of holding on for the last minute before whichever terrible LSU quarterback threw the interception to end the game. But as high as that win was, the very next game, they go out and lose to rival South Alabama 19-7. So we went from the peak of the peaks to the bottom of the bottom real quick. But, you know, the goal all last season, just like it is every season with Troy now, with Neil Brown at the helm, win the Sun Belt, and everything else will take care of itself. And so, you know, Troy was able last year to settle back in, knock out the last of the portion of the schedule, and just went on a 7-game winning streak, closing out at Arkansas State to win the Sun Belt Championship.
What, obviously, you touched on this at the beginning, you know, Nebraska only has one game, you know, last Saturday, the loss, a strong effort, but the loss to Colorado. What have you seen or read about the 2018 Huskers under first, you know, year head coach here at Nebraska, Scott Frost, and what's your takeaway heading into, you know, this Saturday's match?
Size, absolutely size is what, you know, jumps out of the page. As Coach Neil Brown's pointed out, these are some of the biggest defenders that he's seen, and that includes his time coaching in the Big 12 and coaching in the SEC. Trevon Sanders, the nose guard, is the only person that matches size for size from our defensive line to y'all's offensive line. The linebackers are all 230-plus. So it's going to be, on the defensive side of the ball, it's definitely going to be difficult in terms of containing that kind of size and being able to control the line of scrimmage when you're going against guys that are significantly larger than that they're trying to defend. Besides that, skill position players, we've seen, you know, we've been susceptible to the long ball on the defensive side. So the biggest thing for Troy is just going to be containing big plays.
And Haas, I still think, you know, we don't know, at least I don't know, I haven't read, maybe you have an update being, you know, much closer to the action than me, but I haven't heard who's going to be the starting quarterback for this game. There's a significant difference, Haas, between an Adrian Martinez or an Andrew Bunch. I mean, no mistake, and that's not too, you know, but there's a reason that Martinez was named the season starter. What have you heard on the injury front, and do you think it might just be wise even if Martinez thinks he's ready to go, to give him the week off in anticipation of going up to Michigan, you know, in 8 days.
Well, today Frost said that Bunch prepped all week as being the starter, and that Adrian Martinez will still be leading up to the game time as a game time decision. Said it could be 2 minutes before kickoff, and if he's out there cutting without any pain and ready to go, they'll play him. But it would probably be wise to give him another week off before heading up, you know, when the stakes get a lot higher, heading up to the big house in Ann Arbor. But, yeah, the game plan changes a little bit with Andrew Bunch at the helm.
And, Robert, let me get your take on this a little bit. When you look at this game from Nebraska's point of view, they might have the wide eyes of going to the big house next weekend. I think Scott Frost is going to do a good job of curtailing that. But, I mean, these are 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old young men. The possibility of playing in the big house is probably something that maybe some of them have dreamed of, you know, watching perhaps Big Ten football for, you know, their whole life. There is a possibility that they might, you know, before, you know, running out of the tunnel on Saturday, they might be looking past Troy a little bit. And the Trojans, again, not to beat a dead horse or anything, but they're no stranger to going into, you know, a Power Five and knocking off the big boys. So from the Trojans' perspective, you'd almost think that they'd have to be, you know, I don't want to say planning on that, but hoping to use something like that to their advantage.
Yeah, it's got all the makings of a trap game for Nebraska, sandwiched between the devastating loss last week at Colorado. You've got the big house next week. So it can definitely get both Nebraska players overlooking this game, looking forward to next week. Meanwhile, Troy is dialed in all week. Coach has been talking about some great practices leading up to it. So it's definitely got the makings of a ramped-up Troy team ready to show up and play, trying to erase the embarrassing national TV loss to Boise, and Nebraska, you know, potentially overlooking this week as just another Sun Belt team coming into Memorial.
It's going to be...
Yeah, I definitely... Go ahead, Greg.
No, I please, Haas, take it.
I was just going to say, like, that's one of the biggest fears anytime playing a team like a Troy, you know, that they're going to be dialed in coming into an environment like this. It's the kind of the Super Bowl of their season, for lack of a better term. And if we had won last week against Colorado, I definitely think that overlooking Troy would be a much bigger, you know, much bigger thing. But this is a team that hasn't won in almost a full calendar year since October 28th last year on that last second win at Purdue, and coupling that with a canceled season opener and a heartbreaking loss to an old nemesis, I would be very surprised if we weren't dialed in for Troy. But college football, stranger things happen, but I'm going to hope that we're locked and loaded and ready to go. And I expect Troy to come in there and play very well, as they always do under Neil Brown.
Robert, what's your viewing plans for the game on Saturday? Obviously, you're, as you said, hunkered down. Just going to watch it at home, or do you have is there a Troy Trojans bar or something like that that you can go watch your team play with some like-minded folks?
I'll actually be watching it on the phone. Got a big music midtown here in Atlanta, the biggest music festival, so I get to be a fake fan for a day and watch it on my phone in between sets. So hopefully it doesn't rain too hard that I don't have to hide my phone under a poncho. But
well,
any means necessary.
And check that data plan as well. So, Robert, where can people find you on social media so that they can I appreciate these conversations. I've said it. I said it last week, but our Akron correspondent had to cancel at the last minute which is fine. I mean, it, you know, it's not like, you know, we're, there's no heat.
Hey,
about
just
it.
Like the game got canceled.
Exactly right. And I do think that it was because that the conversation got canceled that, that the game got canceled. That I'm pretty sure that's how it works. But,
let's just blame Terry Bowden.
But
I didn't like him as an announcer. I was too young to see him as a coach when he was at Auburn. So I just don't like him based off when he worked for ABC.
We had a good conversation with Colorado last week, and Robert, we appreciate your time, and it's going to be a fun game to watch. Hopefully, you know, it's a good competitive, you know, clean football game, and I'm just going to ask you to reach out to your defenders on our quarterback knee's behalf and ask them to not do any twisting after the play.
We'll tell them not to do any extracurriculars after the tackle.
That's all we ask. Robert Latty, where can they find you on social media?
You can find me at RLATTY1 on Twitter and also at UnderdogDynasty.com.
All right. That is Robert Latty. Check him out, RLATTY1. That's on Twitter and UnderdogDynasty.com. We're going to take a break, and we're going to get JDJ on the line to talk as only our fearless leader can. John Dam Johnston is coming up, whether he likes it or not, here on the Five Heart Podcast. All right, Robert, man, we're clear. I appreciate it.
Hey, not a problem. Not a good time, guys.
Relatively painless?
Yeah. I could say, yeah. I guess the second beer helps, but.
What? Now, we didn't ask, what are you drinking?
Let's see. We got some local Atlanta beer, Wild Leap Brewing.
Hey, I'm just glad you didn't say Coors Banquet.
We just stick to local craft around here. So,
all right, sounds good.
We're snooty.
I appreciate your time. I'm gonna let you get back to your evening. I know you're in the Eastern Time Zone. Be safe this weekend with all the weather and everything. All right.
All right, man. Good luck all this right. week.
Thank you. You too.
Have a good night.
Hi, this is Greg Mahochko, the host of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. And over the years that I've been running the Nerds United show, I've been fortunate enough to speak with many of my talented friends, both artists and writers, creators of comic books, but I've also spoken with some more recognizable names in comics and entertainment. Legendary artist Greg Land, hey, we Greg's gotta stick together. Writer Colin Bunn, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, and comic book creator DMC Daryl McDaniels, The Flash of yesteryear, and in more recent memory, Flash's dad, John Wesley Shipp, and a lot more. And I encourage you to subscribe to the Nerds United podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, or you can check it out anytime you want on JitteryMonkey.com. And as founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network, I really do appreciate your support. When you share a podcast, you help get our little corner of the podcasting world out to even more people. So anytime you do that, you really don't know how much we appreciate it. So share away. And welcome back to the Five Heart Podcast, where just before hitting that record button, Haas asked a very important question about sacrificing live animals. Haas, take it away.
Yes. Have either you, Greg Mahochko, or you, John Dam Johnston, sacrificed a goat to the football gods for the health and well-being of one Adrian Martinez?
Well, I mean, back in the old days, we were sacrificing goats left and right, so I suppose that we could dedicate one of them old goats. You know, kind of what you do is you sacrifice goats and you put them in the warehouse and the gods in that. Where the gods are, right? You establish this inventory of goats, sacrificed goats, right up there, and they just go, well, what's this one for? Well, I hope to have sex again sometime soon. What's this one for? Could that one be for Tommy Frazier? Yes. Okay, what? Now you're, you know, I'm probably running out of goats. I'm going to have to check the inventory.
Did you sacrifice a goat so you could meet your wife?
That's kind of weird.
Hey, we're trying to get
this. You get right. You just go. You just go. You go. Kaboom! Personal. Kaboom! Personal.
Spirit of full disclosure.
I guess.
I don't know about sacrificing goats, but last week.
So, how are you doing, John Boy?
I'm suffering from allergies. And I can't take
the bullshit.
I'm allergic to that fucking hit that was put on Adrian Martinez last week. I'll tell you that.
Aren't we all, brother?
What a douchebag.
So by now we've all seen the footage that the university released, you know, from one of their angles that I'm sure they use for Husker Vision and things like that, you know, some of their online media. That was, I mean, that's pretty damn blatant. I mean, I almost said pretty damn damning, but I didn't want to sound like I just came from the Department of Redundancy Department. But that's, how do you, that needs to be, bless you, needs to be looked at in greater detail by officials from, you know, all over.
Yeah, but they're not going to.
Of course they're not.
No, you know? Larry Scott's going to circle up the wagons for the Pac-12.
Plus, I mean, let's face it. I don't know if you guys watch Pac-12 football, but my God, their officials can barely, they're pretty brain dead.
That's the same ref crew that did the onside kick. Remember the Oklahoma-Oregon game years ago? When Oklahoma recovered the onside kick, but the refs said that Oregon recovered, and Oregon went down, scored the winning touchdown.
I do remember that.
Oh, yes.
That was a closer fuck.
Well, they are Pac-12 officials, and we shouldn't expect a whole lot from that conference, other than maybe not playing dirty. You know, that's just something you kind of expect out of people.
Yeah, we're not asking for a whole lot.
Yeah, I can tell you as a really marginal high school football player from a really tiny town in western Nebraska.
48 years.
When you have a guy that you cannot tackle, and you're like, you get to the quarterback once in your life, and you go, I could get a stat. You're going to twist his leg, or you would bring out a railroad spike out of your shorts to stab him in the leg to bring him down. But the problem with that play is he does that well after everything's done.
Trying to exactly. Figure out where you hide a railroad spike.
That sounds kind of weird.
What, you guys didn't carry railroad spikes?
I mean, okay, so in our defense, unlike you, John, when we were going to school, the railroad was already finished.
Indians were on reservations.
Well, we had to keep them, you know.
So anyway, allergies aside, John. John Damn Johnson, Allergies aside, John Damn Johnson, it's great to have you back.
Oh, well, thank you.
I love that I can hop on the Slack chat room, and I'm going to use it. I don't care. All the young people, Haas included, are going to roll their eyes, but I can slide into your DMs, say, hey, old timer, get on Skype, and you're like, damn it, fine, let me get the laptop out. I mean...
I'm there to respond right away because I don't actually have any other friends.
Well, that makes me feel honored and also kind of sad for you.
Well, yeah.
Shocking.
You got a rotten son.
Okay, what are we going to talk about this week so it doesn't go for 45 minutes with the Haas beating me up all the way?
As usual, because it was such a hit, during the Akron episode and even more so last week, there's not a whole lot because there's not much of a history between Nebraska and Troy, but per usual, I just want you to come on an old man rant about our opponent for a few minutes.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you about a guy named Troy.
Oh, this is going to be great.
I have a brother-in-law named Troy. My wife, since you asked about her earlier, I didn't have to sacrifice a goat to get her to become my wife. But she was my high school sweetheart, which...
Sweetheart,
yeah, whatever. I took her to prom when I was in high school.
And this is the day before you shipped out for Korea, right?
It was. And then I... Anyway... Don't interrupt. You can't train a thought. It's a big thing for old people. Anyway, at one of these prom things, I was supposed to buy her a corsage or something.
Croissant.
And I did not do that. And her little brother, Troy, while we were taking photos, ran right up and punched me in the gonads as hard as he could. I mean, it It literally came out of nowhere, smashed me right in the gonads, and ran off into the distance.
Out of curiosity, I got to ask, how old was Troy at the time? I mean, I figure you're in...
I want to say he was like 9.
Okay, so old enough to know better, young enough not to care.
Well, apparently, according to my wife, he was very upset that I didn't buy her a flower, and he made me pay for it. And now Troy is a very large, grown-up, fully grown adult man with kids of his own. And Troy can shoot things from a long ways away very accurately.
So what you're saying is, as time went on, you did not get that one back?
Oh, God, no. No, not at all. I mean, I've seen him drop a deer at 450 yards, like, bam, drop it. And I've seen him shoot a coyote on the dead run at 300 yards, 350. That's it. You know, and what I'm trying to say here is that if you don't respect Troy, they're going to come back and punch you in the balls.
See, I think
that's all I have for this week's opponent. Okay.
Just
I respect that.
Hearing your story, unless Troy copped to that himself, I really think that was your wife trying to make you feel guilty for not having the corsage.
Well, I think there was a mental. I don't think she had to actually say anything to him. I think he was just going to stick up for his sister, I guess. This would be something I'd learn later on.
I have a... It's not a Troy story. It's a Trojan story.
Oh, Lord.
So, this it's a PG-rated Trojan story.
It's not an SFW?
No, it's SFW. So, as we know, it's not a secret. I used to at one time work in terrestrial radio, and like most small town stations, they got their news from one of the big news. I think it was probably ABC News or something like that. Well, at 6 o'clock in the morning, or maybe just before 6 o'clock, the news would play, and for the 2.5 minutes or whatever that the news ran, or 4 minutes, you had to run their commercials that were in their news block. I mean, that's they're essentially providing you content, but you have to run their ads. And I guess for a week or so, one of the ads in that early morning news was Trojan condoms. And imagine all the people who yell at other people for standing during Husker games. I had to tie it into Husker football somehow. All the people who would yell and tell people to sit down were probably all the same people who were calling in and complaining about those ads that you're playing, like the Trojan Man or whatever it was at the time, calling and complaining. We're like, we can't not play these. We're contractually obligated. We're sorry. Right out the 30 seconds. No pun intended.
Is that what it was? Trojan Man.
I can't remember. That
was it?
No. I mean, it was.
You repeated that for 30 seconds?
No, but it was, one of their products or something. I don't want to get, because I don't remember exactly. I thought it was just the condom. I'll say it, but it might have been one of their other aids, marital aid devices type things. I don't know. I don't know what the hell all they provide. But
you know what? I will say this. I've always hated their product because it never fit me worth a damn. They were always too tight. I'm taking that one. That was low hanging fruit. You guys just left it there.
We'll give it to you.
And on that note, goodbye, everybody. No.
Don't forget to tip the wait staff.
So anyway, we had, I mean, not we could do. We just had to tell the people. Long story short, this is the ad. Can't do anything about it. Turn down the radio. Count to 30. Turn the radio back up. Move on with your day. So anyway, that's my Trojan story.
Do we actually know anything about the Troy Trojans other than they lost a lot of their team last year, other than what Mike has written for us?
They have one player who's over 300 pounds, their nose guard. They actually defended the run pretty well against Boise, but Boise torched them through the air. That's about it.
Did you guys talk much about like Andrew Bunch and Adrian Martinez and all that kind of stuff?
Not really.
We talked a little bit about that in the last episode.
Well, let's do some X's and O's. Here's the thing. I think what bothered me about the Colorado game, and I understand why he did it, but Frost, it, for a series there, went really conservative because Bunch was in the game. I don't know if he went in, if he went conservative because Bunch was in the game or because he said, we are running the ball successfully, we're going to run the ball some more. We still have explosive receivers, regardless if they drop a couple balls. I would love to see Andrew Bunch throw the ball a fair amount against Troy and get, come on, wing zing, pick up 300 yards in the air.
No, I think that it was by design a little bit to ease a quarterback coming in off the bench into the game, just to run the ball. And also we were running the ball really well, but there, when I was at the game, I definitely felt like we weren't going to be able to do anything with Bunch in. He's put in a no-win situation, really. And hopefully that changes with the week of preparation and knowing you're going to be the starter, barring, you know, Adrian Martinez being good to go right before kickoff, like Frost alluded to today. But I think he throws a pretty good ball, and he can move a little bit better than people give him credit for. So I don't. This isn't like a Riker Fife situation.
Here's the interesting thing. Nebraska loves its walk-ons, right? Okay. We love the story of some guy coming out of, like, Thedford, you know, some kid
bailing
made
hay
good.
One day, then he gets in the car and drives to
Lincoln. Yeah, exactly. But we hate the walk-on quarterback, unless his name's Matt Turman.
The Terminator.
Yeah. You can feel it in the air, this kind of fear. Oh my God, all we've got is a walk-on quarterback. If we said we have a walk-on center or a walk-on guard, everybody'd be going, well, so. But you know, you get a walk-on quarterback and people are freaking out.
Oh, I'd be bitching if we had a walk-on center. Well, we do. So I'm gonna table that discussion for now.
Right.
But to that effect, in Haas, I know we touched on it earlier in the week when Conrad got hurt and Tanner Farmer slid over to center. That was your, not that you want anybody to get hurt. I mean, not that way, but that was your kind of dream lineup for your front five, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And the first play that they slid Farmer over to center and brought Bo Wilson in at right guard, Farmer and Wilson had a combo block on the nose guard and they just totally caved him in. Took him right out of the play and gave Greg Bell a nice cutback lane right inside that A-gap. And, I mean, I don't really care, you know, how he gets on the field, but you got to get Bo Wilson on the field more. I've thought that going back to, you know, some of the things that were said about him back in 2016 when he almost didn't redshirt and as a freshman, was going to start the season at left guard, and then they went with Samuel Hahn instead. And Bo Wilson is a really talented offensive guard, and I mean, we got to get him out there. If it's shuffling Farmer over to center and putting him in at right guard, or if it's keeping Conrad at center and putting Bo Wilson at left guard, because, you know, there's still some issues at times on that left side without naming names. And, I mean, Bo Wilson, he's a player.
Do you think
they're not pulling linemen at all yet, are they?
Oh, no, we pulled a lot on Saturday.
We did?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There's a counter play. We ran power with the backside pulling guard a lot. We ran a double G lead read with both guards pulling to the outside, to opposite sides. You know, Foster went left and Farmer went right. And so pulling linemen's a huge part of Frost's offense. We pulled the tackles a lot, too, on the quarterback dart play. So you'll see that a lot in this offense. It's not just
I just wanted to hear you say that whole sequence there.
Yeah, I'll do what I can.
Okay, is there anything else, Greg?
Why do you gotta frame it in such a way with that type of tone, John?
I'm old?
Am I keeping you from your tapioca pudding and Golden Girls reruns?
Damn, that's pretty mean.
You just gave me so much attitude just now. Like, is there anything else, Greg? I'm like, shit. I'm just just sitting here, man.
John, I bet your go-to song at karaoke is the Golden Girls theme song.
I don't do karaoke.
Okay, oh, I bet you'd be great at it.
So that brings up a very important question, John, since you said you don't do karaoke.
Yes.
If you were to do karaoke, just a one shot, what song would you sing at karaoke?
I don't know.
Like either your favorite song or a song that you know, you know, front to back, you know, by heart, or, you know, the song that you, you know, shared your first dance with as a married, you know, couple with your wife. I mean, what? It could be sappy. It could be romantic. It could be heavy metal. I don't care. I'm just curious. Like, what's your favorite song that you would be like, I'd get up there and sing that with enough alcohol. I'd sing it.
I don't know. There's literally thousands of songs. Killers, Runaways.
Okay. That's all I needed.
There you go.
Are you sure you don't want to sing this song? Hopefully there's no ad. Oh, damn it. There's an ad. Oh, good Lord. Come on.
I can edit all that. It's okay.
And then we had the dead air.
That's all right. The silence will help me to know in production where to cut out.
Okay, somewhere. How about this? Glenn Campbell's Wichita Lineman.
Oh.
Ooh, nice pick.
So you were a lineman for the county.
Yeah.
Nice. I mean, I'm one of those two is going to go into the post, just okay. So you know.
It's probably going to be Glenn Campbell. I mean, it irritates my family when I listen to old country music.
And that's why you listen to old country music?
Yeah, but I mean, Glenn Campbell, you can't really, I don't know if you can consider that twangy country music, can you? I mean, he was just a star. I mean, Rhinestone Cowboy was really kind of pop more than it was the old kind of like the cows are dying and all Murphle left and, you know, that kind of shit.
How about some Marty Robbins?
No, well, you know, down El Paso. In the West Coast. Yeah.
Big Iron.
Did you fall in love with a Mexican girl?
I did.
Nice. I'm sorry that had to end for you in the way that it did in that song.
Well, you know, many lives later.
Right. Haas, did you ever get that to work?
Really been booking it out there. What?
Did you ever get that song to work? Or did you?
Yeah, I was playing it.
I couldn't hear it. Nothing was coming through.
It's just going to be something random our listeners are going to complain about. Or they're old like John.
John, were you able to hear it?
Oh, yeah, Golden Girls.
No, I didn't hear it.
Yeah,
okay. I like that. They're old like John.
Probably the same people who were calling up the radio station complaining about that Trojans ad. Jeez.
Probably the same people who believe the fullback is God's position in football.
You would think that it'd be more like St. Peter's position.
Well, you know what? We did see some comments about people, like, you know, there should be a power position. He needs to have a power, you know, line up in the eye with the fullback, and they need to do that on fourth and short because God knows that's the only way you can ever do anything on fourth and short is mash everybody into a phone booth and then drive right out at them. There's just not an imagination among people who constantly have to do that, you know?
When I read those comments, I took the late Brian Toll's advice and did not jump into the comment section.
That's the best advice you can have for us. When we're writing, it's the best to mostly stay out of those.
But I've gotten snookered into a few conversations in the comment section, though. I don't recommend it.
Let people work out their own issues.
Exactly.
All right. I don't have anything else. Haas, do you have anything else? Let's get a
prediction from John.
Oh, yeah. I guess we need to do our predictions. John, big game.
Oh, my God. You know what? I'll tell you what. Who are two guys, national writers. Like, who was it? Pat 40 put us in his bottom 25 this week?
Yeah.
Well, you know why they do that. They do that to irritate everybody so they get more of the web clicks going on. You know,
yep.
That's why you write that kind of stuff. On the other hand, having said that, until we win a game, I think we're still the same team to me that we were last year. And I know that sounds cruel because we did show a lot of improvement. We blocked well. We had 7 sacks. You know, we played good at times, but not all the way through the game. So I would love to see us go out and destroy Troy. I'm going to be there this weekend. But I'm still going to go with a tighter game than everybody wants. I do think Andrew Brunch will outperform what people's expectations are. I'll say 31-23, Nebraska over Troy.
Haas?
I'm going to go 37-17.
I made my prediction. I'm actually, at just for accuracy's sake, I went to our predictions post so I can, you know, make the audio version and the written version the same. I got Nebraska 45, Troy 27. So I'm hoping for a big day. I think that, you know, we might get a score from the defense. I think that's a real possibility this week. So
let's force a turnover.
That would be nice.
Yes.
Well, everybody, that'll do it for your second Five Heart podcast of the week. We do hope that you enjoyed it. As always, we remind you to not yet, we're getting there, but check us out wherever you enjoy your podcast, be it Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Podbean or Google Play. There are probably more apps out there that we might have snuck on. You can always check us out through the player on coronation.com on this post or jitterymonkey.com on the player there. Follow, you know, engage in social media. We appreciate your comments, your questions when you have them, your thoughts, your chiming in, and your fandom. So we're looking forward to a big game this weekend. Hopefully it's a notch in the win column for Nebraska, and we can start that upswing heading into the Big House next week. Can't look past the Troy Trojans. Looking forward to the game, 11 o'clock in the morning in the Central Time Zone, the only time zone that really matters. For my co-host, Haas Reuter, for our esteemed guest and fearless leader, John Dam Johnston, I'm Greg Mahochko, reminding you this week and every week that Five Heart is all the heart you need. John?
Go Big Red!
WTDG, win the damn game.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.